I haven't got a team yet. Yeah, we're obviously looking at maybe a bowling change at this stage. But again, we'll get through training today and make, again, the best decision we think is the best combination to win this game.
Well, you better do something about that quick, Tim Payne. If you haven't got a team, you better find one. There's a test match starting tonight at Headingley, and we are very, very keen to see how it all unfolds. I reckon Adam Collins, host of the award-winning Final Word podcast with Jeff Lemon, which I'm sure will be back through the third test as well, and you'll hear it on RSN 927. He will be very, very excited about what might be coming his way and our way through the next 5 days of Test cricket. He joins us on the Breakfast Club. Collo, welcome.
G'day, Harp. Good morning to you all.
Great to have you with us. Good evening to you. Now, my understanding is you're at a bit of a function with fellow journalists, English and Aussie journalists. Are you wearing your colours? Is it like state versus state, sort of mate versus mate, origin?
We do this once every Ashes tour with the English hacks and the Australian hacks gathered for a feed. We break bread tonight. We're at a fish and chip restaurant about 500 metres from Headingley. And on the wall here at this restaurant, there's a picture of Ian Botham running amok in 1981, that famous test match here. So it's set the tone rather nicely for the week ahead.
Well, it's going to be very exciting. We're all waiting with the bated breath. I'm sure you guys are as well. And Tim Payne said he hasn't got a team. What is the 11 going to look like? Is Bancroft going to play? Is Peter Siddle going to play? What are they doing with the world's most expensive and best net bowler, Mitchell Starc? What's happening on the ground, Collo?
I reckon they do have a team, Harf. I reckon they have a team and they're not telling us. So if I were to be wagering on it, not that I would, I'd be saying that James Pattinson is playing and Peter Siddle is not playing. There'll be no change to the batting lineup. Justin Langer yesterday kind of told us that already. But Tim Payne today, you know, he was coy. He was keeping the bat and pad nice and close together. But as far as the bowling is concerned, James Pattinson was always playing his test match. And the fact that Peter Siddle, 34 years of age and back-to-back test matches, I think they're mindful of the risk component associated with that. So that means that Hazelwood and Cummins will retain their spots and Mitchell Starc will miss out yet again. And Michael Neeser won't get a start. I know I was talking about Neeser a couple of days ago on the basis that they might go Siddle for Neeser to have a containing bowler, but it looks like Neeser won't make the cut either.
Well, Adam, what about the conditions over there? You've been on the ground. No doubt you've had a look. By all reports, it's a little bit drier surface than we're probably used to at Headingley.
Yeah, it's dry, it's slow, but there's grass on top. So we're not quite sure what that means tomorrow. But you look at county championship cricket here through the course of 2019, it's been mostly favouring the spinners and long games that have gone the whole way through the distance in the county championship. So we're not expecting it to be the sort of pitch that was played on between Pakistan and England here in a test match in May last year. That was quick. I mean, the rating of the pitch, according to CricViz, is the fifth quickest pitch in the world over the last 15 years, but it doesn't seem to have those component parts. It's already quite straw-coloured, quite dry, and had a look today. There is that grass covering, but as you know, there's every chance that grass will come off in the morning. So on that basis, it'll be a fairly belt and braces lineup. They won't be preparing for it to be hanging around corners in the morning or anything like that.
And what about the top of the order? We're obviously flagging a change there, Tim Payne, in his press conference about potentially bringing in a bowler, but is there any word on the street about our top order shuffling?
In a word, no. I think that Langer yesterday, when he was asked about it, was like quite abusive that they kept the batting as it was. Look, with Stephen Smith leaving the lineup and Manus Labuschagne entering the 11 formally, of course, he was the concussion sub in the second innings on Sunday, but I don't think they'd be willing to make a second change. Tim Payne threw out a bit of a red herring today about Marcus Harris, but I don't think there's anything to really take from that. I think Harris might play a role later in the series, but Cameron Bancroft's going to get another opportunity. Usman Khawaja's going to bat at 3. Labuschagne's going to bat at 4. And they'll keep it as it was at Lord's in that second inning. So even though there has been a lot of speculation about the Australian top six, especially given they don't have Steve Smith there, let's remember what happened at Birmingham a couple of weeks ago, 122 for 8. All hell was breaking loose until Smith steadied the ship. But I think they are going to dance with the one that brung them for the time being anyway.
So why does Bancroft get so many credits in the bank? Other than he's a good catcher, Collo.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is that. I don't think it's so much about credits in the bank as much as it's having some continuity. You don't want to give the impression that after...
But they're both going ordinary.
But the wholesale changes, I just don't see them wanting to do such a thing at this stage of the series. I mean, Australia are still 1-0 up. If they win this week, they retain the Ashes. So it's not as though they're they're preparing for this to be sort of the sort of week where they're ringing the changes for the sake of ringing the changes. I appreciate your point that Bancroft's not going well, but one point I would make about Bancroft is that he's a right-hander and facing Jofra Archer, who'll be bowling up the hill tomorrow. Broad will be bowling down the famous hill here from the Kirkstall Lane end, and Archer will be coming up the hill. So there's not a slope, but it's quite pronounced at one end and the other. And we saw the way that Archer was able to deviate the ball away from the left-hander. He had it on a string last week. So I think the fact that Bancroft does shuffle a long way across his stumps and in some respects almost smother the movement means that he might be best placed to negate the effect of the new ball, and that will be his job. From the way I see it, if Bancroft manages to bat out the first 20 overs, in some respects he's done his job. Obviously you want him to accumulate runs along the way and make a big score, but if he can blunt the new ball in the context of a series where it looks like Jofra Archer is going to be such a huge component part, I think they probably would take that. Of course, he'll want to go on and make a decent score, but we've seen how poorly openers have gone in England over the last 5 or 6 years. Really, openers, it's been a graveyard for them. So I guess it's about balancing off what's realistic in these circumstances.
Well, Collie, you mentioned Jofra Archer there. You're obviously getting together with the media from both sides of the fence. Has there been a lot of chat about Jofra Archer? Has this been expected? Certainly from my point of view, playing against him over the last couple of years, I've seen the up and downs of Jofra Archer, but that was something pretty special in that Lord's Test.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It's compelling, isn't it? It's hard not to talk about him. It's hard not to have him as the focal point. To think that he came in on Test debut and immediately became the most important player in the Test match. You seldom see that with a Test cricketer or a bowler, a fast bowler, and he's immediately become the most important bowler in the England lineup. One bit of colour around Jofra Archer, which I think you fellas will like. I was watching him bat in the nets today, and he walked into the nets and he immediately started leaving the ball like Stephen Smith with all his lightsaber leaves. Like, well, this is a fraction odd. And then he started doing that Steve Smith crouch before he faces the ball with the same back lift and the same bending of the knees. I wouldn't be entirely surprised if tomorrow Jofra Archer walks out the bat and tries to mimic Stephen Smith. The guy has such an amazing amount of self-confidence. He thinks he can do anything. He was bowling spin today, left arm spin in the nets and beating the bat routinely. This guy is a freak. So, it's kind of the all-round package with Archer. It's that we saw what he can do, and obviously he's a phenomenal talent, but it's just the way he carries himself. He seems not to be at all affected by the scene that he's playing on. He was on Twitter last night mostly complaining about the fact that there wasn't the ability to put an HDMI cable in the television so he could play his gaming console, the game Fortnite, which he plays all the time. Like, this is the guy... this is the way this guy's built. So in terms of pressure and the big stage here at Leeds this week, he seems unflappable. So if he can put on a similar performance that he did last week without Stephen Smith in the 11, they're as best placed they're ever going to be to go one all in this series.
Most fast bowlers have that little bit of nerd to them, so that doesn't surprise me too much, Colo. One thing that I think that's just maybe escaped everyone's grasp is the top order of England. They're not going as well as everyone would have thought. Obviously, Burns has started quite well. Jason Roy's white ball form was stacking up. Root hasn't got a run yet. Root. Denley's still getting himself in. Butler. So they've got some issues as well.
Tell me about it. The fact that Trevor Bayliss came out in his press conference yesterday and told us that he would rather Jason Roy wasn't opening. He said that Jason Roy's best position is in the middle order. So he's the coach of England. And Joe Root gets asked about that today. He's like, no, he'll open. That's fine. I mean, the added complication there, of course, is that Roy got hit on the side of the head yesterday at training, had to go through concussion test last night and again this morning. They've got Ollie Pope to come to Leeds this afternoon. Pope made 201 not out for Surrey today. He played 3 test matches against India last year. He's been injured for the bulk of the season with a shoulder, but he's back in good nick for Surrey. So he won't play in the unlikely event that Roy isn't available. If he wakes up with a headache or, the concussion test deteriorate, then maybe Pope could come into the team and they might shake up the top order. In that scenario, Joe Denley would open. Joe Root all but conceded to us today. So you're absolutely right, though. I mean, it's a battle of the bowling attacks, and at the moment we've seen no real compelling evidence that either top order can make the sort of runs that are going to be required to win a test match.
Colo, did I see that Roy was hit by Marcus Trescothick?
Yeah, with the slinger. So he had the dog slinger going.
Oh, the dog slinger.
Side of the head. So the dog slinger is quite fascinating. Actually, England have got with them in their squad a left-arm dog slinger. There are so few people that can use the dog slinger throwing left arm. Yep. They've got a guy that comes from test match to test match with them to throw left arm, because they're preparing for Mitchell Starc. So they've had this guy basically on a holiday. Of course, Starc's not been playing in the test matches so far. So on one side of the equation, England are preparing for Mitchell Starc. And on the other, with Starc not playing, it's as though the bouncers he's bowling in the net seem to be preparing the Australian top order to face Jofra Archer.
Goodness gracious me. Who would have thought the person that invented the dog slinger, the tennis ball slinger for the dog walkers, ever would find themselves making millions out of cricket net bowling sessions and international cricket? Virat Kohli takes his own slinger on tour with him, our understanding is. So the slinger role is very, very important, as is the role of the captain. We've got Tim Payne doing his job for the Aussies and Joe Root, of course, for the English team. The battle of captaincy, is there a winner at the moment in terms of the way that they've structured the bowling lineups or the fielding positions or the plans they've got? Is there a leading captain, if there was an award for that through an Ashes series, Colo? Who's in front?
Yeah. Well, I think Payne probably is on the basis of the way that he marshalled the troops in Birmingham, the one test match where we had a result. But what I would say is that Root acknowledged when we spoke to him yesterday, we had a little side with Root with the Australian press yesterday, and he acknowledged that he's like a kid with a new toy with Jofra Archer. I mean, probably the biggest challenge Joe Root has ahead of him in this test match and maybe at Manchester as well is how do you not bowl Archer? I mean, you saw how many overs he bowled at Lord's. He bowled him into the ground. It didn't look like it, but he did. You know, as you said before, Johnny, he's had injuries in the past and he's had ups and downs, but the idea that Archer is such a valuable asset and knowing his injury history, of course, he's had a couple of bad stress fractures when he was in the West Indies. I think that's a real test for Joe Root. How do you maintain discipline and only bowl Jofra Archer for the amount of overs that his body can allow for and make sure that they have the auxiliary support to make sure that they can balance that out? Interestingly, England are considering a change to their bowling lineup. Joe Root always names his 11 on the eve of a test match. I've covered the England team for 4 or 5 years now. It's very rare that Joe Root doesn't tell us who's going to play, and he didn't today, which... And there was a bit of a hint yesterday from Trevor Bayliss about Chris Wokes having played so much cricket through the England summer in the white ball team. Of course, he played against Ireland in that test match before the Ashes started as well. So in the event that they did rest, Chris Wokes, will be Sam Curran coming into the 11. And Curran's a fantastic competitor. We've seen against India last year as a 20-year-old in his first summer of international cricket. He was player of the series. He always seems to make a contribution with ball or with bat down at number 8 or number 9. So don't be completely shocked if you see Sam Curran playing tomorrow on the ground where he made his debut against Pakistan last year.
Colo, which David Warner's going to turn up? Because this new, you know, good age, modern one isn't working for us.
Well, put it this way. The new age, modern David Warner had been well and truly in track before what happened in Cape Town last year. This had been the David Warner shift, if you like, happened all the way back in 2015. So I don't think that that's necessarily a factor. But when it comes to the output on the field, Tim Payne kind of acknowledged that without Stephen Smith, the pressure does transfer back onto Warner. I think he said something to the effect of it could give him a good kick up the bum. And look, who knows whether Warner needs a kick up the bum. It's hard to tell from the outside looking in. Let's remember, of course, that he got an absolutely outstanding ball from Stuart Broad in the first innings. As Warner said himself, you're allowed to get really good balls to get you out. That's part of the game as an opening batsman. But Broad has got him out 3 times, and then he played with hard hands to Archer early on in the innings and was caught at third slip in the second dig at Lord's. So, of course, he's under a lot of pressure given that he's made 4 single-figure scores. But let's remember, David Warner made it for 20 test centuries quicker than Viv Richards did. This guy's a serious cricketer, one of the most important batsmen of his, you know, of his age, his generation, of his era. So there's no questioning his capacity to turn around in quick time. We saw in the World Cup that he hasn't lost anything in his time out of the game. So, I mean, if you listen to Tim Payne, it's got to surely be around the corner for Warner soon.
We will see how Davey goes. And Cameron Bancroft, Headingley kicks off tonight, our time, tomorrow morning, your time, Colo. Most important question before we let you go. What do they call potato cakes over there? Are they potato cakes or they got a funky name like some parts of Australia?
Well, you wouldn't want to call them anything other than potato cake. If you ask me, the potato cake potato scallop debate of Melbourne, Sydney is one that we need to continue to bang the drum on. I'm never going to cop this potato scallop nonsense from Sydney. It's garbage.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Couldn't
mussy peas, though, Yorkshire. They love them.
Do they?
Bit of gravy up north.
This is why Adam Collins is our man. He's with us on these big issues like potato cake names. This is why we love him.
I'll make sure I find myself some while I'm out tonight.
Fight the fight for us, mate. Good luck in this couple of days. Looking forward to hearing the Final Word podcast for the test match at Headingley.
Thanks, boys. Cheers.
Good stuff. Adam Collins on the ground there eating potato cakes, not potato scallops.